Satan, sin, sickness, death, and evil have no hold or power over me or my family. We have been justified, saved, healed, and are protected by the blood and power of Yeshua our Messiah, according to the entire word of Yahweh our Elohim. Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs, healing scripture CD, books, and more. That has been my declaration of faith for years. Every time I start to feel attacked, downtrodden, or weak, Satan, sin, sickness, death, and evil have no hold or power over me or my family. We have been justified, saved, healed, and are protected by the blood and power of Yeshua our Messiah, according to the entire word of Yahweh our Elohim. That changed today for some reason. This morning, after waking from a very troubling, jumbled up dream, I was praying and considering that this year is likely the year of Jubilee and what the awesome implications of that may be. Then, when I started to make this declaration, I believe Abba added two words to it that I had not even considered adding before. See if you can catch the added words. I'll emphasize them a bit to make it easier. Satan, sin, sickness, death, evil, and our pasts have no hold or power over me or my family. We have been justified, saved, healed, protected, and forgiven by the blood and power of Yeshua our Messiah, according to the entire word of Yahweh our Elohim. Hallelujah! This, I believe, is the message of this Jubilee year. Our pasts no longer have any hold or power over us. We are forgiven. The Jubilee is Yahweh's great reset. Today's topic will be the Jubilee year. We do have another prior program called Shemitah Ends, Jubilee Begins that is certainly worth listening to regarding this year of Jubilee. And this program aired in two parts on September 9th and September 17th, 2022. And you can find them on our blog page at www.hiswordheals.com. For those that may need a little refresher on what the Jubilee year is, I'm going to read Leviticus chapter 25, the portion about the year of Jubilee. Verses 1 through 7 talk about the Shemitah year, which is the seventh year or year of release, which is what Shemitah means, and that is when debts are canceled. The year of Jubilee starts in verse 8, where it says, "You shall count seven Sabbaths of years for yourselves, seven times 7 years, and the time of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years." So that would be seven Shemitah years. Seven times 7 weeks of years would be 49 years. "Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee," or teruah actually is the word there, "to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land." So that would be on Yom Kippur, you sound the trumpet of Jubilee, the teruah of Jubilee. "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family." So, in association with the year of Jubilee is the proclamation of liberty. If over the past 50 years you or your family have sold or lost any of your inherited lands, all of those lands are returned back to the family and back to the rightful inheritor. And if you have been sold into bondage or slavery over the past 50 years, you are returned to your family and to your possession. So the year of Jubilee is basically a year of liberty. And the word for liberty in verse 10 is H1865 in the Strong's, and it is from an unused root meaning to move rapidly, freedom, hence spontaneity of outflow, and so clear. So it's freedom, liberty. And here a little later we are going to explore liberty in both the Old and New Testaments a little more closely, as it would relate to us, perhaps, in the times that we live in this year of Jubilee. Continuing on in Leviticus 25, so the year of Jubilee is when inheritances are returned and bondservants or slaves are given back to their families. So in essence, all of the mistakes made by you or your family over the last 50 years are canceled out. Everything is reset as it should be, or as it should have been, or as it was before the 50 years of mistakes occurred. Those making the mistakes are set at liberty from those mistakes, from the results of those mistakes. Continuing on in verse 11, that 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy to you, you shall eat its produce from the field. So you can eat the produce that grows of its own accord in the field, but you don't go out and plant, and you don't harvest or reap to store into your barns or pantries. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years of crops, he shall sell to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price, and according to the fewer number of years, you shall diminish its price, for he sells to you according to the number of years of the crops. Therefore, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your Elohim. I am Yahweh your Elohim. So basically, if you find the need to sell your land or your possessions or your family inheritance sometime during the 50 years between Jubilees, the price is decreased according to how many years are left before the next great reset, when all inheritances are returned to their families and to their original owners. So the value of these things is decreased the closer that you get to the year of Jubilee, and the value is increased the sooner that you sell them after the year of Jubilee. Now, ideally, you wouldn't want to sell any of your possessions or your inheritances, and usually this would stem from a mistake or mismanagement of funds, or somehow getting yourself in trouble, or perhaps a drought. That would be the reason that you would sell these possessions. But when the next jubilee comes, this year of liberty, everything is set back to the way that it should have been. Skipping down to verse 23. The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me, and in all the land of your possession you shall grant redemption of the land. If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possession, and if his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold. Or if the man has no one to redeem it, but he himself becomes able to redeem it, then let him count the years since its sale, and restore the remainder to the man to whom he sold it, that he may return to his possession. So even between Jubilee years, an owner who sold his possession or lost his possession can redeem it, or a family member can redeem it, buy it back from the person who owns it until the next jubilee, but it can be redeemed between jubilees. But if he is not able to have it restored to himself, then what was sold shall remain in the hand of him who bought it until the year of jubilee. And in the jubilee it shall be released, and he shall return to his possession. So the jubilee is a year of release and liberty. Bond servants are set free. You're set free from your past mistakes that possibly caused you to lose your inheritance. Everything is given back to the rightful inheritors or owners. Basically, it's a great reset. The great reset of Yahweh is every 50 years on the jubilee year. Consider, many people only see one jubilee year in their lives. Many may see two jubilee years in their lifetimes, and only a few will ever see three jubilee years in their lives. Well, if this year, starting Yom Kippur 2022 to Yom Kippur 2023, is indeed the jubilee year, then this will be my second jubilee. The first one occurred when I was 5. So basically, my entire life and all my mistakes, disobedience, pain, and heartaches have occurred between these two jubilee years. The awesomeness of this great reset hit me this morning. Everything before this year is my past. The jubilee year, or Yovel in the Hebrew, is the year of liberty, the year of release and restoration every 50 years. My past mistakes, hurts, and pains have been released, and all purposes and inheritances as a daughter of the Most High Elohim, El Shaddai, our mighty Creator, have all been restored. This is a new beginning. Hallelujah! The past 50 years have no more hold or power over me, or you either. He has made me and all things new. He has made you and all things new through Yeshua our Messiah and through his Jubilee. In the words of Yeshua to at least one of the men he healed, we need to go and sin no more now. We need to make the most of this new beginning. I have been released and set at liberty from all bondage and weights of sin and past mistakes. Yes, of course, when I accepted Yeshua as Lord and Savior so many years ago, this process of sanctification began and will, of course, continue until it's my time to go home and be with my Savior. But there is great significance to the Jubilee year, and this morning, as this realization came to me, I believe from my Messiah through his Spirit, I felt the heavy yoke of my past 50 years lifted off of my shoulders to be replaced by his light and easy yoke. Remember again in chapter 25, verse 10 of Leviticus, it says, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants." So let's explore further this idea of liberty and see where else in Scripture this idea of liberty occurs, which is what the year of Jubilee is all about. The Hebrew word in Leviticus 25:10 that is translated liberty is H1865 in the Strong's, and that's dror. Where else do we see this word that may pertain to an end-time Jubilee year liberty? Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh, and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn. Who quoted Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2? Yeshua, of course, in the New Testament. And Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, I believe in context, is all about a future liberty, a year of Jubilee, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. Yeshua will proclaim a great Jubilee, where he will set the captives at liberty and open the prison to them that are bound. That's what the year of Jubilee is all about. Those that are bound in servitude are released. Those who are captive are set at liberty. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21 is where Yeshua himself refers back to Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." But if you notice, he stopped at, "to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh." Whereas Isaiah 61 verse 2 continues on and says, "And the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion." And we'll come back and read the rest of this passage later, because it actually starts way up in chapter 45 as well. By referring to these specific verses, Yeshua was actually referring to the entire passage, the culmination of which is setting all at liberty who are bound and proclaiming the acceptable year of Yahweh, which I believe is the ultimate year of Jubilee when everything is restored. So then this word liberty in the Old Testament, which again is Strong's H1865 in Isaiah 61 verse 1, is equivalent to the word liberty in Luke chapter 4 verse 18. And that Greek word in the Strong's is G859. So let's take a look at this Greek word G859 and see where else in the New Testament it appears, so that we can get the context and the complete picture of what this acceptable year of liberty is referring to, this ultimate jubilee year, this acceptable year of Yahweh. Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. Remission here is the word G859, liberty. Liberty of or from sins. Mark 1:4, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for remission of or from sins, liberty from sins. Luke 3:3, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission or liberty from sins. Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Yeshua Messiah for the remission or liberty of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:13-14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness or liberty of sins. So we can see from the New Testament that this word, which is the same as liberty in Luke 4:16-20, and is the Greek version of the Hebrew word in Isaiah 61:1-2, which is H1865. Which is also, of course, the same Hebrew word that is found in Leviticus 25, verse 10, regarding the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, where we are to proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. This word is also translated as remission of sins and forgiveness of sins. So keeping that in mind, let's go back and read the full passage in Isaiah, which culminates in Isaiah 61. Which Yeshua himself quoted in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 20, where he said he came to set at liberty those who are oppressed and proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. Again, the year of liberty is the year of Jubilee, and he came to proclaim the acceptable year, I believe, of Jubilee, the ultimate Jubilee. As we know, the original scroll of Isaiah did not have chapter and verse. And so I think it is appropriate to back up as far as we need to read the entire passage that leads up to Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2, so that we can understand in context what the acceptable year of Yahweh is and what setting at liberty is. What is he referring to? Actually, you could back up all the way to chapter 46 and start reading after the section that's about Cyrus returning the people of Israel to the land of Israel out of the Babylonian captivity, and everything between chapter 46 and chapter 61 is all about the salvation of Yahweh, the forgiveness and remission of sins that Yahweh forgives, and his righteousness that he imputes to us, and the coming Messiah. All of it is about Yeshua and Yahweh's salvation, and how there is no salvation besides that of Yahweh. So you could go all the way back to chapter 46, but for time's sake, we're only going to back up and start reading at Isaiah chapter 58 verse 1. And I believe this is actually talking about a Yom Kippur fast, and since the Teruah, or the ram's horn, the blowing of the Teruah of Jubilee, occurs on Yom Kippur, I think it's quite fitting to go back to the beginning of chapter 58, which is going to be talking about the fast of Yom Kippur, and then we'll read right on up through Isaiah 61, which again talks about the acceptable year of Yahweh, which I believe is the Jubilee, and the setting at liberty of the captives. Isaiah 58, Verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet or a shofar. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their Elohim. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching Elohim. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day of Yahweh? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Again, this is setting at liberty. We're leading up to liberty. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of Yahweh shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and Yahweh will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Yahweh will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. We're all out of time for today, but if you'd like to listen to the rest of this program, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com and go to our blog page. Part 2 of this will air on Hebrew Nation Radio next week as well. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.